Hi there, I am Deva Flowers.
And I'm your host, Chief Bob Vasquez.
Welcome to Creating Leaders of Character.
Our purpose in creating this podcast is to help you empower yourself as a leader.
Specifically as a leader of character.
Deva and I come from two very different times. You might consider me an old school kind of leader.
And I'm what might be considered an emerging leader.
As different as our perspectives may be, we both agree that leading with character is important these days. Actually, it's always been important. Now, it may be even critical.
Throughout this podcast, we'll share our perspectives, not to convince you to think like either of us, but to help you develop your own perspective and to apply them to make you a better leader.
A leader of character. This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
Last time we talked about, we were talking about the foundations or characteristics. I like that term, characteristics. What a leader character does. And we started talking about doing what's right. So I just want to remind our listeners so that as we get into this conversation, that they know where we went and they can go back and listen to the other one if they want to catch up with us. So you're still doing okay? Still in school?
Yes, I haven't dropped out yet, although I have thought about it.
Please don't.
I won't.
although, you know, and I'm going to say this, and I think it's called disavow what I'm saying, that schooling isn't all there is. You know, schooling should be, I think, a stepping stone toward wisdom. And you can get all kinds of schooling from the school. But I think the learning is a lot of the learning is going to be the application of it or trying to apply it and failing at it sometimes. And what's outside your dorm room, what's outside your classroom, because that's real life. So to learn as much as you can and question it. I'm still questioning it. I'm reading about 100 books. And I keep track of what I've read. And when I share that list with people, sometimes they ask, why are you reading that? That goes against all your values and all. And I said, well, if I don't test myself, then I'll never know what I want to believe. So sometimes I'll read some stuff that I'm thinking, oh, this is dumb. But I persevere. I say, yeah.
But
if somebody's, I say it's dumb because it's based on my values, but it's somebody else's perspective. And like I said last episode, Dr. Covey taught us that we can agree to disagree agreeably. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot better than just fighting each other. So anyway, go to school. Don't feel free to cite me when you write the papers, because I've said so many things.
Sure.
I probably said it. Just
nuggets of wisdom all the time, every day.
That's why I hang with you, Deva.
I know. Well, it's more benefit to me than it is to you.
I'm not doing papers anymore. I don't care what anybody says.
You can cite me too, Chief.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
You're not old enough to have said it. You haven't been there yet.
No, what's the age of citehood? Is it 30, 40?
70.
Well, that'll be a while.
Now, again, we said that doing what's right is one of the foundations for being a leader of character. And the second one that I think is selflessness. Now, you know, they may sound like the Air Force core values, but I think those are universal. Being selfless, doing the right thing for somebody else's benefit. Okay, now really, I have friends who would say, not the young generation. They're all about me. It's about them doing stuff for themselves. They are selfish. I won't agree. And you can disagree. Please disagree. Or do you think you as a generation, because you're, 20 years old, something like that? What is that, Generation L or D? Or what do we call you? Because we have to label you.
There was Generation Z, but I guess I'm 20. So I think I would be Z. But there's Millennial Z, and then I think there's X as well.
Okay.
I think I'm Gen Z.
We can't even agree on what we call you.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because all those definitions, one of the reasons I don't really remember what I am is because labeling everybody as one thing, as you have agreed with me with, is really hard to do. So the question, is my generation selfless? Like, of course there are people that I've met in college that I would not say were very humble, didn't really want to do anything for anybody else, even if they said they were doing something for somebody else. And this is a really good point. They're doing it because they want to look a certain way and when the opportunity comes around to fulfill that commitment, that they might not even do it if they've already reaped the reward of their reputation or otherwise. But on the other hand, there are people that spend their whole lives serving other people. And I have experience in the military, but the other aspect is this nonprofit summer camp for kids with autism, and all the people that spend their summer making way below minimum wage. They're just there to eat food and sleep and take care of kids. So I've got a lot of good people in my life, in my generation, that really are, I think, that core value of selflessness.
And how do you, where did you get that from? I think I mentioned it last time that you didn't just wake up and say, I'm David Flowers and this is what I believe, this is who I am, all that stuff. That's an evolution. And we learn from external things as much, well, not as much, probably more than internal things. We can get into that some other time. But something out there encouraged you, inspired you to be who you are, or to choose to be what you want to be and who you are. So where do you guys get that? I mean, Netflix,
And you know that
Facebook,
actually
Twitter.
is one of them. I bet we could list off 10 to 12 ways, maybe even 100, but maybe I'll think of three different ways that we might get this. I just watched a cool documentary. It's called Life Animated, and it's about a boy with autism who gleaned his life skills from Disney movies. So
Really?
he wasn't able to socialize very well, and then his parents heard him recite a small sentence from one of these Disney movies he was watching, and they had an aha moment and thought, oh, he must be learning from this thing. So they started to have a different kind of moral teaching and how to do this and that through watching The Lion King or Ariel or other movies like that. And so very inspiring. Definitely recommend that movie. But I think people can learn in so many different ways. One of the big three, maybe, that we can say would be just childhood upbringing. If you're born into a family that, or born into a school system or into a community that really supported selflessness, maybe you had to depend on each other to survive, whether it was a family in lower class, or if it was a community that really valued that. Maybe you had a good church in your community. What do you think about that? Did you have a good selfless upbringing, maybe even aside from the military as a family?
Oh yeah, the military was, I guess, an extension of what my family was, what my family was the foundation of. I remember my dad, and this is in one of my books I wrote. This one was from what I learned from dad made me a better man. I can envision this right now. My dad comes in from work, and my younger brother, Rick, has his friend, and I think his name was Joey, with him. And mom invites Joey to stay for dinner. And when my dad walks in, he notices that Joey's wearing jeans, because that's what we all wore, jeans. But they were cut up, they had cuts in them, tears and all that stuff in them. And throughout dinner, my dad kept watching Joey and looking at him and his pants and all that. And afterward, when we finished, dad went out to my mom, and we didn't have a lot of. We had everything we needed, but not a lot of money or anything like that. We're middle class, I guess, lower middle class Hispanic. But he opens up his wallet and takes out, and I don't know how much he had, some bills, and he gives them to mom, and he says, "Go buy Joey some jeans," because they were all torn up. He had paid a lot. Joey had paid a lot of money for those jeans, all torn up. I mean, you guys wear them. I still don't. I wouldn't even think about wearing torn up jeans, but those are like, you're
The
cool if you
fad.
the fad, yeah. And my dad didn't understand that, didn't realize it, but nonetheless, that's the way my dad. And in that book that I wrote, my dad never sat with me and told me stuff. He never taught me anything. I just observed him. I just watched him, and that's, I think, I'm probably 90% him anymore, because I do the same things. But what he taught me was there, I guess, charity, if nothing else. And selflessness, that's all he had. Whatever he had in his wallet, he was willing to give to my mom to take care of this kid that he didn't really know. He was one of his son's friends. So you see that stuff, and I'm convinced, Deva, that we're going to learn more from modeling, or from our models, from the people that we see, than those you and it goes back to our discussion about schooling. You can read as many books as you want about being selfless and still be selfish. And probably the reason is because you've never seen people being selfless. And like you said, the military, I served 50 years. We as military members, as warriors, are willing to give up our life for someone we don't know, thousands of people we don't know. And that makes no sense if you think about it. Why would you do that? Other than probably in my case, all my uncles, my dad were all military. And one way or the other, I was going to go in the military for some reason, for a little bit at least. Now, I was about to get drafted when I came into the Air Force, and I decided to stay 50 years. But anyway, that I think that's how we learn it, from watching people. And somehow, maybe that the internal part of this is that when we see that happening, it clicks inside our soul that that's right. That's doing what's right, at least for me, which hopefully it is for the culture as well.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. I read a lot of self-help and, like you said, more academia about leadership in high school and the beginning of college. And I had a friend that would always jokingly make fun of me for it because he said, "You're not learning anything through that. Like, yeah, you can tell me what selflessness is, but are you selfless? And how do you know what situations to be selfless in and all these things?" And he's at the Naval Academy now, and I'm sure is getting some pretty hands-on experience on how to do these things. So it's interesting because you do have to observe how your actions impact other people, or I think consequently, like your example, observe how other people's actions affect you or somebody else. And I just immediately think about the summer camp with that, because there will be people that come in to act as counselors, is what they are, people that take care of these kids and try and teach them about how to brush their teeth, or maybe fish with a fishing line, or ride a horse, or something like that. And at the beginning, that they won't quite get it. We always say you have to drop your dignity when you come to camp, because at the end, you'll just be willing to put on a tutu and dance for these kids, and you won't know why. But what I mean, what am I, what am I, what I mean by that is you come in with these reservations or these reasons why you don't want to serve to your full extent, or maybe like, oh, I'd rather take a nap than take care of this kid. And then you leave having seen all of these kids benefit from your service and from your selflessness. And that's what teaches people how to serve, I think, and how to be humble and selfless and all that.
And I think what may be is a catalyst to that is what we're doing right now is having this discussion. Have you ever considered the impact that you and your behavior has on someone else? My daughter is a director of a child development center, and it's a tough gig. She didn't know what she always wanted to be one, and now she is one, and she reconsiders a lot often. She says, "Why am I doing this? Because it's just so much work and all that." And I tell her, and she watched Simon Sinek on YouTube or something, and it's now she's looking for her why, and we talk about finding your why. And every morning when I send her her early morning, first thing in the morning text, I often remind her, "It's your why. Remember that it's your why." And yeah, but that's kind of nebulous, your why. Even the words don't do it justice. So I tell her, go out, leave your office, and go find some of those little snot-nosed little boys and girls, and look them in the eye. Look at them in the eye, and consider what you're doing, what your behavior will how it will affect them today, and maybe eventually, 10 years from now, God forbid. Well, no, and it'll happen. It's already happened, because she sees people all over the place. Because she's a lot of people know her. But the parents, the kids will say, "Oh, Miss Tessa, you had a huge impact on me when I was in your school and all that." And that's kind of retroactive, I guess. So the way to do this, to think, how do I develop my selflessness? Look the person in their eye, and in our case, in the military, are you willing to die for that person? The answer has to be yes, or else you should get out. But that's sometimes tough. And as you get older, Deva, when you start leading people, especially in a working environment, you're gonna have some people, you're gonna say, "Man, I wish they were gone." But If something happens to that person, that changes the organization. I've
Yeah.
been there where we almost hated this person and he died, and all of a sudden everybody remembers how much we loved him.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
They didn't appreciate him in the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Simon Sinek says that we all only want to be valued and valuable. I think there's more to it, but that's pretty powerful. Yes, I want to be valued and valuable. And the way to be selfless is to do that, to hold this person up and make them, or at least help them to understand that they are valued and that they can be valuable. So not necessarily not an easy thing to do on a bad day. But maybe on the
Absolutely.
bad day, that's when you really need to look someone in the eye and say, I'm doing this for you.
Yeah.
And then, like we've talked about, we'll talk more about humility. Who knows? Who knows whether you're being selfless? I can make an assumption because of your behavior, but are you doing it for yourself or are you doing it for me? Who
Yeah, who are you
knows?
doing it for?
Yeah, who
Yeah,
knows?
that's really interesting. And here's a quick question that'll follow up. So does she, I'm assuming she's in a management role, right? She's not directly with the kids at all times.
Correct.
So is she like a principal or what does she
Something
do?
like that as a superintendent, director.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the
That's
head there.
probably why it's hard. You don't get the opportunity when you look at spreadsheets and
Yeah.
emails a lot. Maybe you talk with your coworkers, but to really see the fruit of your labor in
Yeah.
these kids. And I feel like that's one of the reasons that we brought up selflessness in my population and in my demographic, because technology and past COVID, we've been so removed by the projects that we're doing. We don't often, I think, get to see the fruit of our labor as much as we might used to. And so it's interesting because what's the opposite of selflessness? Like narcissism, right? So having an inflated sense of your own importance, thinking,
Yeah.
ah, I could, I, what I do doesn't affect other people. It only matters what I think. And you need that
All
excessive
right, politicians.
attention. A little bit sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Some politicians for sure. Maybe you
Yeah.
get to a point where you have to have a little bit of narcissism to survive
Guess. I
in
don't know.
politics. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's interesting because once you see, it's just so hard to imagine somebody who walks around and is struggling. I mean, I'm going to say struggling with narcissism because I think it is classified as a disease, just like obsessive compulsive disorder or a conduct disorder. A lot of these people, when I see somebody struggling with, oh man, they're not acting morally. Don't you think they want to act morally? Like, don't you think their life might be a little bit better sometimes if they were able to? It's
I
another
have to
question.
believe that they know that what is moral. That's
Yeah.
just my belief. But if again, like we were saying, if you don't live in that kind of culture, you won't know.
Yeah.
It's okay. We live in a culture where a killing is okay. Well, then killing is okay because that's the culture that we live in. So it's again, it's very difficult to. Not just express it, but to teach that to someone, because I don't think and I've in one of my books, well, in my dad book, I guess, I write that you cannot teach character, you cannot teach leadership. All you can do is show it, and people will follow. And I'm convinced of that, because that I bet you, if you think about it, you would say, yeah, I've learned this, what I do, what I believe from that person. My
Yeah.
grandpa, my dad, my professor, the chief, someone taught me that stuff, and I think especially if we're going to be leaders, you got to be careful of that. You got to know that that's the effect of leading, that
Yeah.
someone is going to follow you. So be careful, are you willing to preach your behavior? First, you got to know what your behavior is. That's the first thing.
Yeah, are you willing to live out what you preach too,
Yes,
is
yes.
another part. And
Yeah.
that's so interesting. And I think that's why these conversations are just so important to actually say these things out loud. I have a class called Martin Luther, The Life of Martin Luther, which is the Protestant reformer in the 16th century, 1521 or so is when he gained height. And I'm reading this stuff and they're talking about how, oh, when the criminals are burned at the stake, often, or oh, the people, the peasants, the ones who ran the burning at the stake, the clothes that they were from their victims that they burned at the stake that they took off of them before they died. And so it's just so interesting because back then it was a public event. People would go and watch this, and it was entertainment. And so in a time where, that's not part of our culture that I want. Like, that's not something that I would choose to have around me. And so I'm just gonna say that outright right now that we're gonna put that as a standard on this podcast, hopefully to continue to not do that. Also continue to not enjoy narcissism, to value selflessness, humbleness, those values. So,
Integrity. It's and again, it goes back to not just knowing what we should do, but doing it. And sometimes that's the tough thing. Let's talk about that next time.
Perfect. Sounds good. Thank you for listening. We hope that there was something that you heard in this episode that will help empower you to become a better leader.
A leader of character. If you'd like to connect with us, please email us at bobvasquez@bobvasquez.com, BOBVASQUEZ at BOBVASQUEZ.com, or davaflowers@gmail.com, DAVAFLOWERS@gmail.com.
Until next time, be great. This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.